Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Raleen Mark standing in for Anthony Reich. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning. Pleased to be here up and early in the morning and pumped full of caffeine.
All right. Apparently you need a lot of caffeine for this early morning slot. But lots and lots to talk about. Lots of news coming out of Israel. The government survives its first vote of no confidence and it is getting to work. Well, that didn't take long.
Well, in the first week that Israel's new unity government has been in office, they've certainly been very, very busy. Over the weekend, it was announced that the government had approved 36 diplomatic posts around the world that had been stalled. A decision on this had been stalled for at least 6 months. So some very happy individuals everywhere around the world that will now be taking up new posts. Very important as we see the looming threat of Iran with a regime change, and Israel's going to have to up our diplomatic game there. Also very, very important was that a vote went through on Sunday in the Knesset to form an investigative committee on the Meron disaster that took place over Lag BaOmer and saw 45 people killed. That decision was also stalled. However, it went through unanimously on Sunday. The finance minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has earmarked 6 million shekels for this investigation, and nobody is immune, whether you're a political leader, religious leader, police, infrastructure builder. Everybody is up for investigation in this inquiry, which is very, very important. We want to prevent any kind of disaster like this from happening in the future. And very, very exciting news. You know, we all wondered what will happen with the Abraham Accords now that there's a change of government in Israel. And the exciting news is our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, will become the first high-level official to visit the UAE. He will be there next week, visiting both Dubai and Abu Dhabi. But we do have a opposition that are vehemently opposed to the new government and put forward their first of two no confidence motions in the Knesset yesterday that were voted down. A lot of drama in the Knesset, a lot of shouting. I mean, Howard, when was there ever shouting in the Knesset? I ask you this. Never.
Yeah, everyone's normally so polite.
So polite, there's never shouting. But yesterday, very, very robust discussions, we'll call it. The Speaker of the Knesset, Mickey Levy, losing a little bit of control for a few moments there, having to get it back quickly as members of the opposition faction heckled the speakers. And this was voted down, so hopefully we can get on with the job of getting on with the job. And, of course, yesterday, former Prime Minister Netanyahu taking to the airwaves to talk about how he thinks this government is making a mistake. No great surprises there, and not much coverage in the media here for that as well.
Well, especially because, you know, once you have been voted out of office, I mean, obviously you have a view and your view is important, but it's all going to be discolored or going to be colored by the fact that you are just a little bit embittered. You know, if he had left with grace and said, you know, it's time for me and the country to move on, then he would have retained some of his credibility. But unfortunately, he's lost his credibility. It means whatever he says now in the form of criticism for the government is going to be viewed that way.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, also over the weekend, we had news of an agreement between him and Prime Minister Bennett that he will vacate the Balfour residence as of the 10th of July, or by the 10th of July. You know, he's got three other residences to vacate to. The security, of course, will be improved on these residences. But the Balfour residence is where the Prime Minister, whether he lives there or not, hosts foreign dignitaries. So at least an agreement was reached there. But what's going to be interesting is the next Likud primaries, because we have had murmurings from Yuli Edelstein and Nir Barkat that they will quite possibly challenge him for the head of the Likud faction.
That'll be very, very interesting. Look, I just think they better make sure that Sara Netanyahu actually leaves, because she's going to be hiding in a cupboard somewhere. Or has, you know, there was that famous South African, when South Africa's did, what was that, Big Brother for the very first time. There was, we spoke about it on my show once, and in fact we even interviewed her, and now her name has, Lee Bennett, or Lee, I think it could have been that, Lee somebody. And she was one of the contestants, and she was voted off. But what she had done was hidden a piece of fish somewhere in one of the cupboards, knowing, of course, it'll go rotten and start smelling. Or maybe she hid it behind one of the couches or somewhere. But just as a little surprise. And I'm telling you, I would not be at all surprised if Sarah hides a piece of Nile perch somewhere under one of those couches.
I don't know about the Nile perch, Howard, but maybe a St. Peter's, because, you know, we have to think of fish that is indigenous to the region here. Mm-hmm. So
right, okay, I get that. But let me just ask you, going back to this Meron inquiry, very interesting in that a lot of the parties that might have been involved are no longer part of government. In other words, if there is to be an accusation, let's say, towards some of the ultra-religious parties, they aren't there part of government. So does this mean that it'll be less accepted, better accepted? How does this work?
Well, we haven't had any objections from them. I think they've seen the situation for what it is and don't want to lose any more lives. I think that they're also probably perhaps maybe a little apprehensive about what the inquiry will find. But, you know, we have to think of protecting lives in the future. This is not the first time that there have been warnings about the precariousness and unsafety of structures at Meron. So I think on this one, they're going to want to be as quiet as possible if they object to this.
Yeah, indeed. It'll be interesting to see how this all functions, because we haven't seen this type of functionality within the Israeli government for some time. Let's just talk about this amazing new technology that I started seeing on social media yesterday, anti-drone tech. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, Howard, someone, could have been Marjorie Taylor Greene, accused us of having Jewish space lasers. You know, we had these incredible, and between Marjorie and between Mel Brooks's Jews in Space, you know, it's not a reality. So yesterday we had the incredible announcement coming in from our defense ministry saying that they had tested very, very successfully a plane mounted laser that had in their test successfully shot down several drones from at least a kilometer away over the Mediterranean Sea. They were testing this over the last while. And it's quite incredible. You know, they released footage of this, incredible to see. And what it will do is it will be a game changer. You know, when we've had these conflagrations with Hamas in the south, and we saw it just over a month ago, we've got the Iron Dome systems that deal with rockets, which is a phenomenon all on its own. But the mortars pose a greater danger, because there's nothing in place to really take them out. And of course, we've got these drones now that they started to fly over the border, these unmanned aerial vehicles packed with explosives. Some were calling them suicide drones. And now we will have the system in place, hopefully within the next couple of years, that will be able to take these out. And if we turn to our northern border, it's a game changer there as well, because we frequently see drones coming in over the border from Syria that, of course, are part of Iran's efforts to try and encroach on Israeli sovereign territory, and coming in from Hezbollah in Lebanon, which are an Iranian proxy. So this is really a game changer, because it can take out the smaller mortars and other projectiles that were able to get past
at a fraction
the
Iron
Dome defense systems.
The cost being a massive factor here as well.
Well, absolutely. You know, we want to try and keep costs as feasible as possible. But this is not just exceptional in terms of a cost factor, but also in terms of a military breakthrough. You know, I think it was Ronald Reagan who many years ago spoke about Star Wars, and people thought that he had quite possibly lost his mind and maybe watched too many movies.
That was to come later, yeah. Mm.
But we are seeing this in modern day warfare. You know, no country has to deal with the rules of engagement or the type of phenomenon that we do here in Israel. And we're certainly developing the systems. We've seen it with Iron Dome, and now we're seeing it with these incredible laser tests that will be able to take out any kind of projectile threat.
What's interesting to me is the fact that they made this public yesterday, because it does seem to be some months or maybe even years away from being fully deployed. So it fascinates me, in fact, that they would have showed their hand in the way that they did. Any theories around that?
Well, it's very interesting when we do see the army or the security forces showing their hand, and it's we also have to factor in, is there more than a little bit of psyops, the psychological operations or warfare? Something that we've actually managed to do successfully in the last year or so. We had those famous pictures that was sent specifically to Lebanon of a soldier lying on a stretcher. I have to think of the English word for a second there, Howard, because the Hebrew word for stretcher is just such a strange one. Holding up his hand so that Hezbollah thought that in this particular skirmish that they had won. We had the incredible body blow that we dealt to Hamas during Operation Guardians of the Wall, where we used the international media with a very, very ambiguous statement from our spokesperson to say, you know, that the IDF is engaging operatives in Gaza. Very interesting, because he didn't say we were in Gaza, but the media took it to mean that we had gone in boots on the ground, which of course sent Hamas terrorists into those tunnels, and we were able to drop a fair few tons of ordnance on the metro system, taking that out there. And now we have this over here that, you know, sending a not so subtle sign to Iran specifically that, you know, we have you on notice. Don't think that you can send your drones and your mortars and your whatnots into our country, because we are developing our systems just as quick, if not quicker, than you are.
Very, very interesting. The psychological aspect of that governed, or that must have motivated, the release of this information. The EU commissioner may reconsider aid to Palestinians because of anti-Semitism in textbooks.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, we've spoken so many times over the years about UNRWA and what's in the UNRWA textbooks, and we saw during the Trump administration the pulling of funding because of the incitement in textbooks. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the EU in their parliamentary committee produced the research, produced the findings of what they had seen after looking at these textbooks in depth for several years. So now the head of the European Commissioner for Neighbourhood and Enlargement, that's quite a long business card, his name is Oliver Varhelyi. He said that they had found a fortune of anti-Semitism and incitement in Palestinian textbooks. And he said via Twitter, he said, firm commitment to fight anti-Semitism and engage with Palestinian Authority and UNRWA is to promote quality education for Palestinian children and ensure full adherence to UNESCO standards of peace, tolerance, coexistence, and non-violence in the textbook. And he went on to say that the conditionality of their financial assistance in the educational sector needs to be reconsidered. So that's putting the UNESCO, UNRWA, and the Palestinian Authority on blast to say, you're not going to get any moolah, any wanga, if you're going to continue to incite for hate. And, you know, we see this incitement playing out not just on the streets of Gaza or in the West Bank, but in the streets of cities around the world as well.
It's just incredible. At least it is being addressed, and that is a step in the right direction. That's where we love and leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time. It